This podcast uses chapters. In Apple Podcasts, you can access them and skip to the relevant parts of this episode by clicking the now playing bar at the bottom of your screen and then tapping on the bullet points icon in the bottom right. In this episode, I wanted to do something a little bit different because I want to be able to show you that it's not just about you and it's not just about me here. We can all learn from each other. And my ultimate goal is for you to learn full stop, whether that's from me or from someone else that has that experience that they're willing to share with you. Now, I could talk until the cows come home about how I've done hundreds and hundreds of episodes over the last 25 years of various podcasts. If I were to count them all together, they would probably come in the thousands rather than the hundreds. But I think this is the important point here. When we share experience, we need a vast, varied array of different experiences that we, as podcasters, can draw from. So what better way to share experience of podcasting with you than by highlighting this particular podcaster's experience when she had me interview her on her own show to celebrate 200 episodes.
200 episodes later, I'm the one in the hot seat today.
Michelle J. Raymond is a LinkedIn expert specializing in company pages, and she hosts the very popular podcast, Social Media for B2B Growth. To celebrate her 200th episode, she asked me to do a no-holds-barred interview with her about her podcasting experience, and I felt it'd be well worthwhile sharing that with you now. So here it is.
I am up to my 200th podcast episode, and I never in a billion years ever imagined that I would be recording something that had that title in it. And it is just mind-blowing as somebody that doesn't listen to podcasts, is this committed to showing up every single week. And I wanted to think about how I could make this episode interesting for you rather than just talk about, yay, I did 200 episodes. Aren't I cool? That's not helpful to anybody that's listening. So I had this idea. I wanted to go to the one and only podmaster, Neil Velio, who is a dear friend of mine, my podcast coach, mentor, and probably counselor in the background most of the time, because I wanted to be a guest on my own show. Neil, thank you for agreeing to this craziness.
It's an absolute honor and I can't wait to get started. Congratulations, first of all. I can tell you now, as someone that works with lots of podcasters and has done for many years, that's an incredible achievement. The amount of podcasts that get to that landmark, probably fewer than I could count on one hand, certainly when I've got a pint in the other. But my question for you is, when did you first realize, because I know you had a bit of a checkered past with your podcast. When I first met you, you weren't really that in love with it. Let's be honest about it. But, you know, that's the truth, is the podcast wasn't really getting you the results that you wanted. You were thinking, oh, why am I doing this? I'm not really into it. When was the moment that you actually realized, you know what, this could change my life?
Yeah. And it is a confession. The first, I would say, 100 episodes, I have thought about going back and deleting those. I know I'm not allowed to, and I know that they're part of the journey, and I know that some people would have been around, we're talking years ago now, but when I first started it, it was because my friend Michelle Griffin, she said, Michelle, you need a podcast. And I was like, why do I need a podcast? She's like, it's good for your personal brand. I was like, oh, okay, whatever. So I figure out the tech so that I can record it. And I'm not going to say I figured out the tech well, but enough to get it recorded and uploaded. Until I learn better. If I could go back to my younger self podcasting days, just go and speak to Neil, get him to do it properly for you the first time. You can save yourself 100 episodes. But what happened was I did it because I wanted to have conversations with people. I almost wanted them to become my friends. And there was no rhyme or reason to it. There was no strategy. There was no person that was a listener in mind. It was all about me and what I needed and wanted. And that was fine. And having guests was always good to help keep me accountable, like, because I can't be trusted, you know, back then to show up every week and do that consistently. I literally just did whatever. And the downloads were, you know, when you see numbers like 30 or 20 and you're thinking, talking to 20 people. Like, what the heck? Is this microphone even on? Like, is anyone out there listening? Like, that's what it was. Thinking, God, this is a lot of work by the time you record and edit and, you know, organize all the guests. It's what, 6-8 hours for the level and standard that I was doing when someone like you is doing, and sure, you're an expert, so you could probably speed some of those processes up. But it's not a half an hour show. Half an hour is the amount of time I invested into it. So there was a moment when I started to see that the messages that I started to get when I tightened things up were from people that I really wanted to work with. And they were my favorite clients when they became clients. We were aligned in values. They knew exactly who I was, how I would show up, my approach to LinkedIn. So, you know, in the early days before I got this sorted, like people in engagement pods, and I'd want to punch them through the screen. I was like, no, we're not going down engagement pod routes. Like, we can't do that. But now, like, the people I work with from the podcast are just amazing. And as you know, I think it was like January 2023, I got a cease and desist letter from LinkedIn asking me to basically change the name of the podcast. That was putting it nicely. If I didn't do it, I would lose my whole LinkedIn account. I had to change the name, which meant changing the website, removing LinkedIn's logo from every YouTube banner that I'd ever created. There was a long list of things and a huge amount of work that I needed to do. And by taking, it was called LinkedIn for B2B Growth, which is a great title for this podcast, and that I had to take it out. And my numbers kept sliding in a way that I couldn't stop it. And you and I worked together, I think it was July 2023, the first time, because I knew at that point, I either needed to have expert help that would turn this around or flick the switch, say goodbye and say no more podcasting for me. That moment, I think, was the moment that I went, actually, no, this is important to me. I realized the loyalty that podcast listeners come with. I realized that it's a really close and intimate relationship with podcast listeners, even though I don't know who they are. Like, and so it's weird. And I know you and I have had this conversation. You're nodding your head for those people that will be listening to this on the audio. Neil's like nodding his head fiercely in agreement. And it's just weird, but I love it. For someone that doesn't listen to podcasts, I finally think I get it, Neil. There you go. There's your sound grab. I think I finally get the power of podcasting. And it's grown my business. Like, absolutely. Most of my new clients typically come from a lead from my podcast now, like 6-7 out of 10 easily, which for someone that spends so much time on LinkedIn, you know, like, it makes you question things some days.
So let me understand it. You're basically saying that the moment you realized this podcast was changing your life was after the drama with LinkedIn, after you felt that show was being taken away from you and that everything you built with it was under threat. That was the, it took that for you to realize, do you know what? This podcast is amazing and it is absolutely changing my life.
Yeah, because I had to realize at that moment that I wasn't doing it for me and me only. Like, I love showing up and being in service of my audience and my listeners. And this had become such an amazing way for me to do that. And if you remember when we first spoke, like, I used to always have guests and I was far too scared and doubted myself severely that I could never record an episode by myself. And remember, like, I'm sure that there's DMs between you and I. In fact, I know that there are, where I was going, oh my God, when I try and record one by myself, this thing's taken me like an hour to do. It's all too hard. I get stuck in my own head. And the only way I got out of it again was, I'm not doing it for me. I'm doing it for the people that listen, because I genuinely am in service of that audience. And then when I finally got out of my own head again, had a strategy where I would show up and create something that would be useful for other people that they could go away and immediately put into practice easily and it was easy to understand for everyone, no matter what level that they were at, I started enjoying it even more and I wanted to show up. And I have guests infrequently now because I'm like, no, this is my moment and my microphone. And I work so hard to build this. And I built it completely organically over that time, as you know. And it's just been from getting better and better at this craft. Like, how can I be a better speaker? I think the best compliment I've got is people keep questioning if I'm one of those AI generated videos. And I'm like, no, I just talk like this. And thanks. Is my skin routine working? You think I'm like that perfect? But you know, like that's what practice and commitment and dedication to this, because there are days when I think, God, is this thing working? Why should I? Is it all worth it? And, you know, then I have a podcast listener reach out and say, you told me in the ads that you wanted people to reach out and connect. Here I am. And I'm like, yes, I genuinely do. And I get super excited about it.
Then brilliant.
It really does. Who would have thought? I'm pretty sure that came out of our strategy session, like when we were setting up those little sound bites and just getting better at little bits of podcasting, because it's not just, as you would say, show up, turn on the mic, record, and then go away. Like honestly, that just feels like someone's sliming. You know, just, it's like no one needs any more talking at. And again, it's still for me, I'm going to say hard to do something which I'm so passionate about and the people on the other side and not know who you are. So if you are listening to this and you hear the messages where I say, please reach out and connect with me, like it's genuine. Please reach out and let me know you listen.
What do you think the biggest shift your audience will have experienced with you since episode 100 to now is?
My confidence in speaking my views and not just relying on expert guests who I look up to. And I used to think that only my listeners would show up just because I had these well-known guests. And I have had some pretty amazing guests on the show who I love these people. They've taught me, inspired me, are super cool. But you know, as you said to me, Michelle, they show up week after week for me, not for the guests. And that was like, you know, smacked me straight between the eyes. Like, what the? Like, what? Like, and I still some days, and now I've got the confidence to say what I want to say in my own way and call out the things that I want to call out and give people both sides to the story. And I think that's what my listeners appreciate, is that I will give you both sides. I'm not here to tell you exactly how to do LinkedIn, but I will tell you, look, this is the upside. This is the downside. You choose, right? Like I will give you pros and cons, but it's ultimately coming back to you to figure out what works best for you. So as we go forward, I think there's some of the beliefs that I have around, you know, AI is probably the thing that's impacting LinkedIn and, you know, the world in general so much right now, but I feel like we're moving away and using that as the decoy that's distracting us from doing the real work that matters, i.e. having conversations with people. And it feels like if I use a tool, I won't have to talk to my customer. I won't have to use empathy to understand what it's like for them. And so going against the grain, I would be more popular, I think, if I just went, yay, AI, here's your 20 prompts. And I will do some of that. But in my heart of hearts, what's right for me is to say, no, you need to go back and build relationships. And that is the core of success on LinkedIn, finding those right people, connecting with those right people, nurturing them, being patient over time is going to get people further than the latest AI tool that can mimic your voice and pretend that the content was written by you, when we all can feel that it's not. Just wholeheartedly believe that and use the tools to save you time elsewhere. Like, go for it. I'm not an anti-AI person, but I think I have to be a stand that it just can't be a part of relationships. And that's going to go against what a lot of people out there are going to tell you. And I'm going to have to be okay with that, just like I was when I was telling people that company pages should be part of a business strategy on LinkedIn. And people like, no, that's rubbish. Like, you're wrong, blah, blah, blah. I'm okay with that. And I hope that my listeners appreciate that. They may or may not agree with me. That's totally fine. Like, I hope that, you know, a group of them don't agree with me. That's what I love about LinkedIn, is that we can have different voices out there. And the biggest fear that I have is we end up clones of each other. Like, that would be the thing that would make me most sad about LinkedIn, is if it just became clones of clones of clones.
If LinkedIn disappeared tomorrow, in this weird world where Microsoft just go, do you know what? We're selling, and we're going to sell it to some company that aren't interested in social media anymore. What are you doing?
Yeah, I'm going to say podcasting. Like, and I'm not saying that just because it's you, but it is something that I've realized. So I'm active on, I have three main platforms right now. So I have LinkedIn as my primary. I have two podcasts that I do. Social Media for B2B Growth podcast is my main one. The LinkedIn Branding Show is also a podcast that's coming up to 200 episodes as well, which is kind of crazy when I think about it. Now, what I've discovered is that my highest quality clients that I can work with are come from my podcast, hands down, every single time. And you can use that for your sound bites that, you know, my client, Michelle J. Raymond, says, you can absolutely use that, because I've done the maths. I've seen it. And the clients that reach out from YouTube, from those videos, they're different. They're often looking for free advice, and, you know, price points end up a bit out of skew, you know, like, because they come in with a different, they're looking for a solution or an answer to a question. They find that via YouTube, whereas the relationship building happens on podcasting. So I'd be on the blower straight to you going, we need to find me lots more podcast listeners. I think I'd love to help businesses create podcasts as well, so that they have this opportunity to build relationships with people and not just hide behind content. Because I feel like content on LinkedIn for businesses is handed down to the person with the least experience, that they don't want to pay for someone senior, and they don't set that person up for success, whoever it is. And they just throw them in the deep end and push them under the bus and say, yeah, you'll be right. Like, you know, just, you can write a post, you can do it. Like, it's fine. And so with podcasting, you will find out very quickly that doesn't work. Yeah. And if you don't think about who you're doing it for and why you're doing it and what will they get out of it, and stop talking about yourself, then podcasting doesn't work. I've got 100 episodes. I can prove to you I didn't get any business out of those episodes. Like, that was just me doing it because I thought I needed to do it to build my personal brand. And now that I realize that's not why I'm doing it, yes, it does help me build my personal brand, but that's not why I do it anymore. And yeah, the impact on my business has just been pretty amazing. And again, I still can't believe that I'm having this conversation about podcasting as someone that just didn't get it. And yeah, just didn't, as I've said to you, I just read the transcripts of podcast episodes. I could never understand why someone would want to listen to them. And, you know, I have a few podcasts that I listen to. I now listen to yours. I listen to Jay Schwedelson's.
You've become an
addict. I've got three now, you know, like, and it's crazy to think that I've got three podcasts that I listen to now, which, you know, again, for someone who can't learn via listening, that's a big deal. But I have to be on the bike at the gym. I can't be anywhere else. I have to be stuck in the one spot.
You have taught a lot of people. Let's be honest about it. With your show, you know, you're not just your podcast, which obviously has given immense value over, you'd say, 100 episodes, but I mean, you were starting the journey. I'm sure there was some valuable stuff in the first 100 as well. So that's a lot of people that you've taught to grow on LinkedIn in that time. But what's something, and I guess there's going to be a harder one to identify from your podcast audience, because you predominantly don't know who many of those are, but those that have fed back to you and those that have fed back to you through the LinkedIn platform as well, what's something that they've taught you about yourself?
Self-belief. And that might sound like a cringe kind of comment, but the honesty of that is that I'm one of those people that is a high performer in most of the things that I do that never thinks I'm doing good enough. Is the story of my life. You have been on the end of my self-doubt kind of conversations where I'm like, is this enough? How are my numbers? Where am I at? Especially when I was questioning whether I should keep going with the podcast. Should I go by myself? Shouldn't I? And those messages that I receive from people, especially when they say things like, it's easy to understand. I'm not going on like a lot of the other rubbish that's out there. They know that they can apply it. They can relate to it. Those kind of things really give me the encouragement to keep going and shut the noise up in my head, which is pretty nonstop. And it's not imposter syndrome. Like, it's not that I know that I know my stuff, but I often doubt whether the people out there will love it as much as I want them to love it. I am that person that's like, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Like, it's nonstop question in my head. So when I get those messages, it's that moment where the self-doubt stops just, you know, briefly for me to actually enjoy this and remember that I actually genuinely love doing it now, you know, and I hope that they feel that. And I hope that people understand that I show up every time and you think I've got it all together and it's easy for me and Michelle can speak really good and all that kind of other stuff. But the fact is I have to show up week after week and get past my own stuff that I have my own version of it in my own head, just like everybody else. But I choose to do this for other people and get myself out of the way. But yeah, when I get those messages, you know, or the, you know, podcast reviews, they're like hen's teeth. So when they actually happen, when someone's written one, I'm, you know, high-fiving myself behind the scenes. And it just gives me that little pep in my step to keep going. And who knows how many episodes that this podcast will end up. Like, it's just crazy to think about. But yeah, I have a lot of talking to do. But thank you to anyone that does leave those messages and send them to me. Like, they genuinely mean the world to me. And yeah, I appreciate anyone that's ever done that. Yay.
200 episodes.
Look, and I have to say thank you again so much for everything that you've done to get me to this point, because you know full well that those doubts that I have when I send you texts and go, where am I? Am I at? Where's my ranking? What's going on? Like, or I can't make my downloads move, or nothing's happening, or should I do this? Or can we change my intro? Or
you haven't done that for a while, to be fair. You haven't done that for at least 6 months. So we're all good.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I've been busy. Like, you've been lucky. No, it's just one of those things. But I, you know, I want to say to people like you, Neil, how I've become so successful at what I do. And, you know, you take the podcasting piece of what I do and it has leveled up significantly since you and I became friends and have worked together. So, you know, we're going to make sure that people have all the details to get in contact with you. And if you have a podcast, for God's sake, go and do one of Neil's podcast audits so that you don't put in all the work like I was and get no results. Because I can tell you, it was immediate, and we've got the screenshots of his fixes all of a sudden meant that my podcast is being heard by the right people and more people. And it was just a godsend. So I appreciate your friendship. I appreciate that you are always there when, you know, it all hits the fan, especially around the podcast. And I'm like, oh my God, LinkedIn's going to steal my podcast. Help. And you just jumped in. Just want to say I'm completely grateful for everything that you've done. And yeah, to anyone out there that has a podcast or wants a podcast, Neil's the only person that I ever recommend. So thank you kindly.
Appreciated. Thank you. And thank you so much for asking me to do this. It's been a real honor and an absolute blast as well. And lovely to hear some really nice, honest, genuine, vulnerable answers as well. So well done for wearing your heart on your sleeve.
As we said, feelings for 2026, stories for 2026. Like, it's not just something that I tell my clients to do. I have to show up and do it myself. So thank you for bringing those out. I couldn't have done them talking to myself. So this episode has delivered everything I hoped. And thank you to all of the listeners, all of those people that subscribe and download.
So there we are. As the lady says, if you too want to see exponential growth on your podcast, if you already have one in existence, the best way to do that is to work with me on an audit. These are comprehensive written and videoed reports where I go through every aspect of your podcast from the audio to the structure to the value offering to the way it's presented. You know it's time. When you're ready, make sure you book your spot at podnose.co.uk/audits. That's podknows.co.uk/audits. And I look forward to working with you on your podcast very soon.